Welcome back to America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening every Saturday and Sunday and for following us online as well. And hello to our new listeners and new affiliates all across America. First time I talked to Peter Lance was over a decade ago when he wrote an expose about Richard Hatch, the first winner of Survivor, a book called Stingray. Since then, he has come out with other works of investigative journalism, 1,000 Years for Revenge, Cover Up, and Triple Cross. Peter is out with a new book now called Deal with the Devil, the FBI's secret 30-year relationship with a mafia killer. Peter, welcome to America Weekend.
We go back a long way, Paul, don't we?
We do, and it's nice to have you on the show. Let's talk about the guy at the heart of this book, Gregory Scarpa Sr., who worked for both the FBI and the mafia at the same time?
Yep, and he was absolutely bar none the most vicious, violent, but cunning mafioso in American history. He had a $70,000 a week drug operation. He was the largest trafficker of stolen credit cards in New York. Had an international auto theft ring. He had a bypass bank robbery gang that would net $13 million in a given weekend. He did hijackings in which he would steal like 1,000 cases of Cutty Sark, plutonium, gold bullion. He trafficked in pushable instruments with a face value of $500,000 each. He was a Medellin cartel level earner, and he also was stopped counting after 50 murders, which makes him the most prolific killer in the history of organized crime. And from 1962 to 92, when he was shut down eventually, he was a top echelon informant for the FBI. His memos, his debriefing memos, went to every director from J. Edgar Hoover to Louis Freeh. And he earned in $2013, the Bureau paid him, or he got back in insurance rewards, over $1 million while he was killing people and racketeering.
Okay, now when you talk about his reports to the FBI, they weren't reports about his criminal activity, but about criminal activity and bad people he was dealing with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it. I mean, he was like a Machiavellian chess master. He would... he gave a lot of disinformation, first of all, but he would also take advantage of FBI intelligence to knock off his rivals from either murdering them or getting them indicted. And virtually everyone in the family above him, from Joe Colombo, who was first indicted as a result of him and later shot, and I link him, not directly, but I at least suggest he may have had something to do with the shooting of Colombo at Columbus Circle in 1972, to Carmine Persico, the family boss, all eliminated ultimately. So Scarpa would rise up higher and higher in the family while he was, manipulating the control agents around him, the bureau brass, the guys in his own family who really had no idea he was a rat in mob parlance, or else he would have been killed.
So at the time the FBI thought they were using him, he was really using them, using their information to make himself richer.
Absolutely. In the Deal with the Devil, he got the benefit of it. And, you know, Selwyn Rabb, the great New York Times reporter who wrote the book Five Families, did an article during what was called the Third Colombo War, in which he talked about, we called it the Battling Colombos. They only had 160 made guys compared to like 600 in the Gambinos, but they were the most violent family in history. There was the famous Profaci War in the early 60s. The Gallo Wars in the 70s, in which Joey Gallo was famously killed at Umberto's Clam House in New York. And then there was this third war from 1991, really, till 93, in which 14 people were killed, six of them killed by Scarpa himself, two innocent bystanders. Well, we now know the reason the Colombos were so violent. They had inside, within their midst, an agent provocateur who, using government intelligence, was wreaking havoc in the family.
Now, when we talk about a top echelon criminal informant for the FBI, there has to be an FBI agent whose job it is to oversee that person and, you know, keep an eye on him and make sure that he's not doing exactly the stuff you're telling me he did. Didn't the Bureau have somebody keeping an eye on this guy?
Yeah, they had four control agents. We don't know their names, but the second one was called Nino Anthony Villano, who was a real New York tough Italian. But he not only let Scarpa wreak havoc, he actually negotiated kickbacks for insurance companies for him. Like, Scarpa would, he'd steal 1,000 cases of whiskey. He'd keep 800 for himself. He'd give 200 back. And then Bellotto would negotiate an insurance reward so that he benefited from the liquor that he gave back. I mean, that's how ingenious he was. Now, the fourth contacting agent, Lynn DeVecchio, R. Lindley DeVecchio, was the agent in 1980 to 92. I document in this book, Deal with the Devil, and my website, peterlance.com, my name, we have all, Paul, you know, I have tons of information more for your listeners.
Yep.
I document 26 separate homicides during DeVecchio's watch, and he was indicted on 4 counts of murder in 2007, in part because of my book, in part because of a woman named Angela Clemente, who uncovered a lot of evidence. And but the trial ended abruptly after 2 weeks. The government actually paid part of his legal fees. The Justice Department had 2 lawyers at the trial, glaring at some of the other FBI agents, so that their testimony would be watered down. They didn't want him convicted, unlike Whitey Bulger, the trial that's going on now in Boston. He was a top echelon informant. His control agent, John Connolly, is doing life. And Whitey was accused of 19 murders, and the government is vigorously prosecuting him. But this guy, they did not want to go down. The answer was, because he was the guy that provided the probable cause for the Title III wiretaps in the Mafia Commission case that basically made Rudy Giuliani's political career, and that no way did the Bureau want the mobsters walking out of jail that he put away.
So even though this guy was committing all of that stuff, and the FBI knew he was doing all of that stuff, they felt that he was being productive enough for them, or perhaps for their political purposes, to allow him to continue to roll on with his life?
Well, that's the broad conclusion that essentially I reach in the book. The Bureau would deny that they, quote, knew what he was doing. And DeVecchio, like I said, his murder case was dismissed. But there's just no way that DeVecchio, they called him Mr. Organized Crime. He was a supervising case agent in the commission case. He had 2 squads in New York. There's just no way 26 people could have died on his watch at Scarpa's either direct or indirect hands without him knowing. In fact, in the 60 Minutes interview with Anderson Cooper, when his book came out in 2011, he said, in my heart, I knew he was doing hits. He even mentioned one particular hit he knew of. So, he knew. There was kind of a wink and a nod, because their goal, the Bureau's goal, was for Scarpa to take over the family so they'd have a guy on the Mafia Commission, which is unheard of. It's like the CIA having a case officer in the Politburo at the height of the Cold War. But that deal with the devil, that quid pro quo that they were hoping for, resulted in much more havoc. I mean, Scarpa totally got the benefit of the bargain, and he was the kind of guy that they should have had other mobsters spying on to put away. But in fact, he was the worst by far.
How dangerous was it for you to investigate this?
I don't know. I've investigated Al-Qaeda in my first book, 1,000 Years for Revenge, then this story in part and cover up, and Al-Qaeda spy Ali Muhammad and Triple Cross. I'm not reckless, but I look over my shoulder on a regular basis. This book in particular, this is my favorite book of all that I've done. I think it's a great summer reading beach book, Paul. If you hold it in your hands, it's like 2 pounds.
Yep.
And it's an epic page-turner. Even though it's nonfiction, it reads like fiction. And Nick Gage, the former New York Times organized crime reporter, compared it to the Valachi paper. So I think people will love it. He is the most fascinating, diabolical villain in the history of organized crime, Greg Scarpa Sr.
It's Greg Scarpa Sr., a name that most people don't know, but if they read Deal with the Devil, they'll certainly read it. And I think that there will be times in it when they'll say, like I did, that didn't happen. But if Peter Lance says it happened, it happened. That's how much I respect you, Peter. And I appreciate you coming on in here and joining me, and I hope that the book sells a lot for you. I've just put a link to it on the America Weekend Facebook page so our followers can get to it that way. Or you can go directly to Peter's website, which is peterlance.com. Thanks again for joining me. I appreciate it.
It's always great, Paul. Thank you.
The book is called Deal with the Devil, the FBI's secret 30-year relationship with a mafia killer. What a story, and as you can hear from the passion in his voice, what a storyteller. I'm Paul Harris. Remember, we are not only on Facebook, we're also on Twitter. You can follow us there, at America Weekend. And if you have questions or comments about anything you hear me say on this show, email Paul at AmericaWeekend.com. From the Envision Radio Networks. America.